Welcome back. Halfway amazing I'm even doing this. Been through a lot of stuff since my last episode. Had some problems. I think in one of these I mentioned that I'd gone to have some things removed from my body. The production company I was working with and the their host have essentially stolen the objects from me. They breached their contract by not showing me the objects and they removed them from my body. They then breached their contract by not transporting the objects to a pathologist and just holding on to them for 5-6 months. And when I finally complained, because these things are connected to my health, and said I want them back so I can have them tested, they sent me back two objects completely opposite or different than what they showed me. There's this guy out there named Daryl Sims, calls himself the aerial alien hunter. I don't believe in aliens. None of this was about aliens for me. It was just about trying to find someone to pull this stuff out of me and find out what it was. I had health concerns. It turns out that Daryl Sims is the artifact stealer. That is my opinion and that is my experience, because that is what happened when I dealt with Daryl Sims. He turned out to be a two-faced liar, in my opinion, my experience. Yours may be different, but you know, two-faced liars are snakes, so be careful with people like that. I would tell you not to trust that man, though. Don't believe anything you see on a Daryl Sims special. They don't lead you anywhere. I was involved in filming one. It's all garbage. And if there is anything, like there may have been in my case, whatever they're involved in clearly isn't media. There's some kind of covert operation stealing these things and making sure that the truth behind them does not get out. So that's my opinion. My opinion is that Heidi Shorn at Alibi Media and all of Alibi Media and that Daryl Sims, the alien hunter, are all a big crock of crap. And if you buy into any of them, they're not just a crock of crap. I believe, my opinion is, that they're actually some type of covert sting operation, man, running around and pulling these things out of people, probably before they call us. It's probably the idea. They probably want to pull these things out, get this, you know, hold on to this technology so they can reuse it on whoever is the next in line, right? Whoever's left. I don't know if they were spying on me. I don't know what they were doing. I have no clue to this day. I feel a lot better without them and more godly. So if there's any godly connection, I believe that they would have to come back or be dealt with me, because God wouldn't have made a mistake that way. But I don't believe that's what they were. I believe they were monitoring me in some way, or monitoring people around. I'm not sure exactly. I couldn't tell you because I don't know how I acquired them. What I do know is how I lost them, and that was through pure deceit. So, good job, Satan. You guys have fun with those. I'm combating it by just getting deeper with my Lord and learned about SR, semen retention. I've been doing that, quitting all the, getting caffeine and sugar out of my system, and really just trying to buckle down and be a more, natural person to hopefully better hear our Father, you know? So that's my goal. And all that stuff that happened with them, I will be making a like a mini documentary about it, because I documented everything. I've got so much underhanded evidence about these people that I will put out a video. It's probably going to be called Heidi's Alibi, or Heidi and Daryl, the Artifact Thieves, or something like that, you know? But I will be putting something out. I have no problem standing up for myself or telling the truth, regardless of what some corporation may think is their position. I don't care. I go with God. I expect that at some point, me just saying I'm following Jesus is going to get me in trouble anyway. So a lot of the things I believe aren't mainstream. And mainstream is one of the fakest things I have ever seen. So I choose not to be fake. We left off, I think we finished chapter 22, so we're going to pick up on chapter 23. And sorry for all the background noise, but that's how I got it. It's just me in a bathroom right now. I still can't find a place to just silence noise, so I'm not going to worry about it. Just moving forward, it's the message that matters. Chapter 23 from the Nonlinear Bible. This is the Interlinear Bible. It's translated in Hebrew, Greek, and English. We're on Exodus chapter 23. You shall not utter a false report. You shall not put your hand with the wicked to become a violent witness. You shall not run after many to gain evil things. You shall not testify as to a lawsuit, to turn aside after many in order to pervert justice. And you shall not favor the lowly in his lawsuit. When you happen, that sounds like what I'm about to do right now. God, may you not favor those who have deceived me. Should we end up in any legal action? Bless you, Father, so be it. Amen. When you happen on the ox of your enemy, or his wandering ass, there's my immaturity coming through. It says ass, but anyway. His wandering ass, you shall surely return it to him. Excuse me. When you see the ass of one who hates you crouching under its burden, you shall refrain from leaving it to him. You shall surely loose it from him. You shall not pervert, so I guess don't punish the objects of somebody just because you hate them. That makes sense. Not objects, but animals or anything connected with would make sense. You shall not pervert the judgment of your needy one in his lawsuit. You shall keep far away from a false matter. And do not kill the innocent and the righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. There we go. I hope the other side that I was just talking about is listening to that. You will not be justified, and I will stand upon a holy place to deliver my truth. Anyway, back to the story. I love how it all just kind of quiets. I'm going through something right now, and within the first, two, and little paragraphs of reading this, I'm right into my own story. It's funny how the Bible will do that sometimes. It's incredibly connected to your life sometimes, especially where you seem to be at it. It's weird how you can find these correlating messages to what's going on in your life at that time that just seems to give you an answer or at least ease your heart a little on it, just alleviate the stress a little. And even that's amazing. Just having that little bit of stress release. All right, where was I? Do. There was something about wicked. You shall keep far away from the matter and do not kill the innocent, righteous, the wicked. Okay. And the righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. And you shall not take a bribe. So the bribe blinds the seeing one, and it perverts the words of the righteous. And you shall not oppress an alien. Oh. And you know the life of an alien, since you were aliens in the lands of Egypt, in the land of Egypt. It's funny that alien is a word that they use in the Bible to describe people here, terrestrial people. Whereas nowadays it's been so inverted that when you say the word alien, you're talking about some mythological, theoretical creature that has been fantasized to live or exist outside the firmament. In a, you know, in while deceiving you about what the firmament is, or that it exists, for that matter. They want you to believe you're on a ball that's spinning, that has is also, while it's spinning, being, taking larger circles around a sun. That sun, that galaxy, are also spinning around, and that's all being shot off in one direction. Yet the stars in the sky have never wavered once over the centuries. So that's because, like most of us will tell you, there's a firmament above us, and it doesn't move. The North Star is the polar star, it's the middle of it, and that thing doesn't wobble even an inch ever. So I don't know what they're talking about, but it's time that we grow up and separate science fiction theories from practical fact. Buoyancy and density, that's your gravity, buds. It's all you need. It's provable, it's repeatable, it's real science. Gravity is not. There is no other mass anywhere in existence or even in, I don't know, you know, in any kind of reality other than the Earth that can be spun around and hold water to it, that can somehow, because of its spinning, attract mass, and somehow can contain its own environment inside a vacuum. Those are three impossibilities that you just have to overlook to be part of the globe agenda. So there's that. Yeah. And so, you shall not oppress an alien. And you know the life of an alien, since you were aliens in the land of Egypt. And you shall sow your land 6 years, and you shall gather its produce. And the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow. And the needy of your people shall eat. And what they leave, the animals of the field shall eat. So you shall do to your vineyard, to your olive yard. Or so you shall do to your vineyard, to your olive yard. You shall do your work 6 days, and on the seventh day you shall rest, so that your ox and your ass may rest, and the son of your slave girl and your alien may be refreshed. 1 second. All right, sorry about that. This one chapter is going to be broken into two segments because my daughter decided to go behind me and start making an incredible amount of noise. I had set her up with everything she'd asked for and wanted to, you know, maybe have a 20-minute break, 30-minute break, and nope. We followed Daddy to see what he was doing and then just started turning on toys and literally took a whole chorus of animals, these linkimals, and just started lining them up behind me. I didn't even notice, and started, that's what like took off in the end there, what you hear in the background. She turns them on and they all come on. So I jumped up when just the first one came on. When they go into a chorus, they get really loud, really loud. So I don't know what she thinks she's doing, but that's all done. So where were we? Let's see. I believe I had mentioned maybe just we were at the vineyard to your olive yard. You shall do your work 6 days, and on the seventh day you shall rest. I think I already read this, but we're just going to kind of repeat this part real quick. Where'd you go? And I have lost my place again. On the seventh day you shall rest, so that your ox and your ass may rest, the son of your slave girl and your alien may be refreshed, and be watchful, and all that I have said to you. And you shall not mention another god by name. It shall not be heard from your mouth. We've heard he's a jealous god. I guess, though, if you're the only god trying to do something righteous, or righteous, you know, it wouldn't be jealous. It would be a little more than that to keep people from messing with what you're doing. 1 second. All right. Realize I left the door open. I'm picking up a lot of background noise, even if you're not. Okay. Not be hard to hear. 3 times. In the year you shall make a feast to me. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, as I have commanded you. Man, I didn't know all that. You're supposed to eat nothing but leavened bread for 7 days? Is that... what is that? And it says 3 times a year? You shall make a feast to me. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, as I have commanded you. At the set time of the month of Abib. Ooh, when's the set time of the month of Abib? And you know, that's a hard thing to find out right now, because I'm not sure that we are using the same calendars they were using in the biblical sense. I think they had 13 months, potentially, with 28 days. And it leaves like a 4-day buffer, which kind of falls into this perfect harvest zone when you're not supposed to be doing anything. So, I don't know. Gregorian calendar, Julian calendar... I think the one we're currently using is incorrect. I think if you go back and you look at it, Friday the 13th should happen in every month. The second Friday of every month should be Friday the 13th. So, and it used to be. before we switch the calendars. So keep that in mind too while they tell you it's a scary thing. You know, everyone acts like, oh, Friday the 13th. Well, in actuality, before we started using the calendar we have now, there was a Friday the 13th every month. It was really no big deal. So just another day in that calendar. Shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread as I have commanded you at the set of the time of the month of Abib. For in it you come out from Egypt, and they shall not appear before me empty. Also the feast of the harvest, the first fruits of your labor, of what you sow in the field. Also the feast of the ingathering. The feast of the ingathering. What's the ingathering? At the end of the year, at your gathering, your work for at your gathering, your work from the field. So when you're gathering all the work from the field, your harvest, I guess. 3 times in the year, every one of your meals or males shall appear before the Lord Jehovah. Wait a minute, I'm gonna start this whole thing. I lost myself here. Also the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labor, of what you sow in the field. Also the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, at your gathering your work from the field. 3 times in the year, every one of your males shall appear before the Lord Jehovah. Now, how do you appear before the Lord Jehovah? They make it sound like you're just going to send someone right up to him, don't they? And the lead is this, can you harvest 3 times in a year? Is that, or, I fear my ignorance is leaving me wanting in this these paragraphs. Okay, you shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread. Huh. I didn't know that. And the fat of my feast shall not pass the night until morning. The first fruits of your ground you shall bring to the house of Jehovah your God. You shall not boil a kid in its mother's milk. What? That just caught me way off guard there. So let's start right here. The fruits of your ground, first fruits of your ground you shall bring to the house of Jehovah, your God. Is the church? Because they never say church. I mean, the way they terminology this now, you know, in the Bible back then compared to how we do it now, is wholesale different. And if Satan's inverted everything and he's running the land, he's in charge, then you can't trust that a church is what they meant back then, right? I don't know. But right after that, shall bring to the house of Jehovah your God. This is a standalone sentence to end this paragraph. You shall not boil a kid in its mother's milk. Is that a metaphor? I'm okay. I like have to just move on because I don't understand that at all. That's got to mean something else though, right? Like, you shall not boil a kid in its mother's milk. I mean, drowned a kid, I would give a boil? Were they boiling mother's milk back then? Huh. Behold, I'm about to send an angel before you to guard you in the way and to bring you to the place which I have prepared. Be observant before him and listen to his voice. Do not be rebellious against him, for he will not forgive your transgressions. For my name is in him. For if you fully listen to his voice and do all which I speak, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will be an enemy to your enemies. Whoa, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will be an enemy to your enemies. Whoa. Here's one of those spots I just got to slow down and reread, but that's what it just repeats itself. Where's the sentence start? So this is the sentence from beginning to end. For if you fully listen to his voice and do all which I speak, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will be an enemy to your enemies. I don't know if you can hear me scratching my head. He's going to be an enemy to my enemies and to their enemies because my enemies' enemies are my friends. Potentially, right? Anyway. This could just be a typo. Maybe that means exactly what it says. It was supposed to be repeated twice. I just don't understand it. which I speak, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will be an enemy to your enemies. For my angel shall go before you and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will destroy them. Wow, so in The Simpsons, Homer always calls Jesus Jebus. And this is the first time I've ever... I always just thought they were playing around. But here is a word in the Bible that actually goes along with that. I don't know what this is. There's someone who can be destroyed, though. So they're clearly not Jesus. But the Jebusites? Jebusites. Okay, look, it's J-E-B-U-S. So there's your Jebus, right? After the S, it's I-T-E-S. So it's Jebusites? Jebusites? I'm not sure, but it's Jebus. Right? It's Jeebus. How about that? Boy, the TV plays with us, doesn't it? That thing is just filled with all kinds of deceit and deception. I try hard not to watch it. I try to avoid it at all cost. And a lot of the time I do watch it, I realize that this is just Satan. Satan's propaganda being bombarded at me, and I need to try and filter and delineate the truth of what's happening here, because everything Satan's telling me has been inverted and twisted. A lot of times, if they're telling me to stay away from something or not go near something, it's something I actually probably want to be near. Not in all cases, don't get me wrong, but a lot of times they will bastardize the truth to get you to think that there's no, you're wasting your time in that. Okay, here's a great example. Semen retention. I just learned about this. I'd actually gotten onto a Reddit thread, was learning about NoFap, was like, what is that? And that literally led me down a rabbit hole that took me to SR, semen retention, and all the benefits of that. And when I look at that, and I studied that a whole bunch before I started doing it, like, man, this is crazy cool. When you look at the medical field in America, or maybe worldwide, I don't know, they'll tell you that not ejaculating is bad. It's bad for your prostate. It's bad for all these things, that it's healthy and normal to masturbate a lot and to ejaculate, whereas the Bible and everything says that that's your essence. You don't want to spill your essence for no reason. There's a mating season for humans, just like there is for the animals. And outside of that mating season, for that sole purpose of procreation, you should not be dropping your semen at any time. It is your essence. It is to stay with you. It benefits your body in so many ways, that one of them even spoken in the Bible, and we'll get there when we get there. I don't want to jump ahead and read out of these other areas of the Bible that I've had to kind of look into to understand where I'm going with this. But it does say, man, that you don't get rid of that for anything. It helps you communicate with God. It helps you stay grounded. That without it, you're chaos. You're a low level. You're like the dogs of Satan. So I would stop masturbating. That is my personal advice, personal opinion, personal view that I would suggest to every male on earth. Stop masturbating. Stop spilling your seed all over the place. Stop thinking that's healthy and stop perverting the idea of women. These are our mothers, our daughters, and our sisters, our aunts. And if we could go back to truly viewing them like that, I think they would stop getting raped and beaten and just brutalized and treated like second-class citizens, because like all lives, they matter. Okay. There's my toilet behind me for no reason making noise. Absolutely no reason at all. Just let that go for a second. There it goes. Thank you, toilet, for whatever that was. Not today, Satan. You wouldn't believe how much disrupted I got. I mean, I can't, it's hard. I'm only going to get to read one chapter because I can't put myself in a position for 30 minutes to actually read out of the Bible on recording. This becomes so incredibly difficult for me. It's unreal. I can't tell how many times I've set things up to sit down and record and something around me would happen and I don't even get back to it. I just end up having to put it all away so it's not on the counter anymore. It's a constant struggle to kind of get into this. And I have taken extreme measures to disassociate myself from most low energies, to try and boost myself back up, to have the energy and the strength and the wherewithal to realize what is going on around me and to not allow it to dissuade me or affect me or stop me from pursuing my purpose. So And this podcast, or, you know, reading the Bible is all this really is for me. I just wanted to read the Bible, and I thought I would just express it and share it out loud as I went. But it's incredibly hard for me to read the Bible. I don't know why. I don't understand how I could have so much happen in my life when I'm just, I mean, I'm like 68 pages into this thing. I've been doing this for almost 2 years. For a really long time. It's a 1,000-page Bible. I mean, somewhere up there. 957 in Revelations. See, 973, and we're outside of Revelation. So it's a long Bible. We are 68 pages in. I don't know if I'll finish this before the world ends, guys. Before judgment happens. So, okay, where was I? I'm sorry. The times of the year, everyone, your male shall... Okay, appear before you shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, and the fat of my feast shall not pass the night until morning. The first fruits... Did I already read this? The first fruits of your ground you shall bring to the house of Jehovah, your God, and you shall not bow... Boy, okay, yeah, I did. I'm sorry. I've gone backwards here. Let me go forward. Behold, I'm about to send an angel before you to guard you in your way and to bring you to the place which I have prepared. Be observant before him and listen to his voice. Have I already read that? Boy, I got us lost here, didn't I? I'm sorry. So I'm just going to start back on verse 20 in Exodus, because I know that I read the mother's milk part. So we're just going to go here. Behold, I'm about to send an angel before you to guard you in the way, and to bring you to the place which I have prepared. Be observant before him and listen to his voice. Do not be rebellious against him, for he will not forgive your transgressions, for my name is in him. For if you fully listen to his voice and do all which I speak, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will be... Oh God, we already finished this whole thing. Yep, there I go. Yeah, Jebusites, and I will destroy them. I'm pretty sure that's where I had trailed off on you. Sorry. All right, so now we're on paragraph 24 or whatnot. Exodus 24. You shall not bow down to their gods. And again, I'm sorry. I just took you on a 10-minute loop there. Sorry. You shall not bow down to their gods, and you shall not serve them, and you shall not do according to their works, but you shall surely tear them down, and you shall surely smash their pillars, and you shall... Oh my God. You hear that, America? You shall surely smash their pillars. That means that we should go be destroying that Washington Monument and all of its like, because that is essentially, it's an Egyptian obelisk, let's be honest about that. And it's an obelisk, which is a phallus. It's a phallus which is not circumcised. It is an uncircumcised phallus. So, no covenant with God. Let's put that out there. It has no dome to its head. It is still tipped like the uncircumcised phallus. You shall serve Jehovah, your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst. There shall not be one miscarrying, nor one barren in your field. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my terror before you, and I will confound all the people among whom you come. And I will, among whom you come, give the neck of your enemies to you. Oh, and I will, that makes me wonder, is that to injure them or behead them? Why would you get their neck? I'm really against the idea of killing, even if you're enemies, but don't get me wrong, I would never disobey God should I be learned that there is some form of evil that must be slain by the hand of the righteous. Then may my hand be righteous and may it be right, you know, but it would have to be in that. It could never just kill someone because I'm like, you don't agree with me. You're evil. You know? That would seem like a very liberal stance. Like the kind of, you know, stuff we got going on now with the LGBTQ community and all of that wackiness. Ugh. Don't get me started there. I have a child. No one's going to tell her she's something she's not or try to convince her that she could be. Anyway. I will send my terror before you and I will confound all the people among who you come. And I will, among whom you come, give the neck of your enemies to you. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites before you. And I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, that the land not become a waste, and the beast of the field multiply on you. So what's, whoa, I screwed myself up there. Drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites before you. I will not drive them out from you in 1 year, that the land not become a waste, and the beasts of the field multiply on you. I will drive them out before you little by little until you are fruitful and possess the land. And I will set your border from the Red Sea as far as from the Red Sea as far as the Sea of the Philistines, and from the wilderness as far as the river. Huh. So, I mean, guys, we all need to get on board with this and start praying. You know what I mean? And maybe what's happening in America, we can slowly, instead of feeling like they're going to start holding us down with vaccines, we can watch this slowly change until we gain back the power. We, the people, were designed to be the leaders of this country. The quicker we figure that out and stop pretending that the people we elect get to have the say-all, the quicker we'll understand how powerful we are as a community and as individuals who come together under common goals when the moral fabric around us is being threatened. For I will give the people of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall not cut a covenant for them and their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they cause you to sin towards me. Surely, when you serve their gods, it will be a snare to you. And how many of their gods are we serving here in America? That's the end of chapter 23. I'm going to cut it here because I just need to... Chapter 24 is so short. But just because I need to go check on everything that I just had to go do. It's been about a half hour and I got a kid out there. So make sure she's doing her thing properly. We will come back to this later. But yeah, America, we're in trouble right now. We are in big trouble. And if we don't all come together and start realizing that our leaders, when they say God, they're not talking about Jehovah. They are not. The people in power, they are fully in league with Satan. Fully in league with Satan. Everything they do is so anti-Bible and such an inversion and perversion of what the Bible says that you need to wake up. And this is it. I mean, we're getting close now. The idea that you may be killed or persecuted for believing in Jesus is right around the corner. You can see it. It's not going to be a far stone's throw to go from persecuting the unvaccinated to connecting the unvaccinated's reasoning for being that to religious causes and then persecuting the Bible, saying that these beliefs have hurt humanity by denying science, and that science, who I believe is Gog, not God, but Gog, science is Gog. It's stopping that nation from rising, right? And everything that comes along with science, your Dr. Fauci's, your vaccines, your climate warming, all the lies and the deceptions, that is the nation that follows Gog. And it's when it becomes so oppressive on humanity that we don't have a way to get out, that God's going to have to step in for judgment. And I believe that's where we are. We are being, they're doing hard to make it look like, you know, deceive us into believing that we're at this one part in the Bible. When you look at it, it would appear that, so Nero did the mark of the beast, guys. He literally made you put a mark on your forehead and you couldn't buy or sell. You couldn't do any of that. We already had that. What they're doing now is not a clear mark of the beast. I believe it is the beast. Don't get me wrong. I think the nanotechnology inside that injection you can take is right in line with the idea of taking the mark of the beast, because technology, you know, mathematically breaks down to 666, and that is the number of the beast. So if you're injecting yourself with the number of the beast, then are you not taking the mark of the beast? And the idea that it would show up on your forehead or your hand, maybe we haven't seen this part of this technology come out yet, but it's also history repeating itself, because Nero made people put a mark on their forehead or their hand. So we have a new, you know, version of something old. And when Satan was let loose after Jesus had reigned and he was allowed to take over, he was going to deceive everything. So making you believe and getting us to argue over where we are in the timeline, that is exactly what he's doing and going to do and wants to do. So you just got to kind of open your eyes to what it is. Is Jesus going to pull 144,000 and we're going to do like he claimed those who were around him at the time he spoke would witness? Or is what you're witnessing something, you know, to consider science, the leader of a nation of scientists and their horrific theories and ideas that are coming to attack you, and that they may oppress us so bad that God has to step in because there will this time be no way around it. Science is the Antichrist, essentially, is the true hidden evil that was waiting to eventually be unleashed to destroy the entire world. It's just some stuff to think about. You guys have a great day, and may God be with you.